Over the years, I've collected a number of photographs, and recently I got round to putting them into some sort of order in an album. And that meant the album was lying round, and various people have been looking at my photographs, and we've gone back into some of the old family photographs. And it's always great fun, I think, looking back into a photograph album. Sometimes it's very embarrassing. People look and they say, no, that wasn't you. Is that really your sister? And other times they come up with some very amusing things. I've got a couple of friends with me from Africa, and I showed my friend's wife a picture of my guinea pigs, which I had when I was young. And she looked at them and said, what lovely little doggies. And I couldn't convince her, and she's still not convinced they're anything other than dogs. I've also got a number of photographs which I've taken on Christian holidays, house parties. And again, that's a place that a lot of my friends go, and so people recognize various people. And the way fashions change, hairstyles in particular, is really amusing. People who once had really long hair have now got really short hair, and the other way around. So photographs are fascinating. And they're exciting because they trigger off our memories. You get talking, oh yes, I remember that, I remember that, I remember this person. And so you get excited about sharing the past. Now, when Paul was in prison, he didn't have a photograph album. But in many ways, he had one in his mind. And he was flicking over the pages of his photograph album in his memory, thinking back on all the various people that he had met. He was, in the words of verse 3, remembrancing, which is why I don't like the translation we've got here. But anyhow, that's the word. He was having a remembrance. In other words, he was just thinking. And he was thinking back to the Philippians that he had met and loved, and he was getting very excited by them. He had a great advantage. He had time to think. He was in prison. Now, we haven't got that advantage, if you think upon it as an advantage. We've got to find other time to do some thinking. Maybe it's when you're walking to school. Unless you're running so fast to catch the bus, you don't have time. Maybe it's when you're washing up. Maybe you can find a church somewhere around that's not locked up. Even this church is unlocked during the day, so you can come into a church and find a bit of quiet. Maybe you get quiet when you're in the bath. Maybe you like a communion service or a time of quiet like we had in church tonight. Or maybe in your own home you can find time to be alone and to think. But very often, when we spend time wanting to talk to God, we're not quite sure how to go about it. And there are many secrets given to us in the Bible, and one of them is here, think about people. Paul spent his prolonged time of quiet in prison thinking about people. And Christians want to do that. Now, thinking leads on to thanking. That's the second point. If you're trying to take notes, I'll try and just underline the rough progression of the sermon. Thinking leads to thanking. You can try it directly with your photograph album. Instead of just looking and saying, oh, that's fun, that's a laugh, think about the people and give thanks to God for your family, your friends, and turn the pages of your memory into thanksgiving. Sometimes there's a very sad side to looking back in old photographs albums. Maybe people who in the photographs are young and healthy have now become old, and even some of them have died. There's a sad side too, very often looking at a Christian photograph of Christians of the past. Maybe here's one who no longer seems to be going on as a Christian. Here's somebody else who you've completely lost track of. Nevertheless, a lot of the time, when we look back, there's a lot to give thanks for. And when Paul looked back to the Philippians, it was a thankful, joyful experience. Verse 3 straight away starts, I thank my God in all my remembrances of you. So for Paul, looking back at the Philippians was very satisfying and brought him a lot of joy, and he gave thanks. They were Christians who were going on. They were Christians who loved him and cared about him and took an interest in him. And so that made him thankful. So when we think about other people, here's a chance to give thanks to God. But how can we be confident about other Christians? That's a problem lying in the background here, because you remember when I did the reading, I underlined that word sure many, many times, because Paul was obviously absolutely certain that these Philippian Christians who he was thinking about and thanking God for, he was confident they were going to carry on as Christians. And that's not always easy. It's not always easy to be confident about other people. It's not always easy to be confident about ourselves. Will we carry on as Christians? No doubt those of us who are Christians have thought about that and looked into the Bible to see what encouragement there is there that we personally will carry on keeping going as Christians until the day of Christ Jesus. You remember that came in this verse here, that the Christian's going to carry on until the day of Christ Jesus. How can we know that that'll be true of us? And if we're sure about ourselves, how can we be sure of other people? Surely we've all known examples of people who said, yes, I'm a Christian. Maybe they've come to a service like this or another service here at the church and have been really enthused, carried away by the experience and the crowd and the singing and the atmosphere. And they've said, yes, I'm a Christian. But a little while later, it's all fizzled away and it's disappeared. How can we know when it's real? I think Paul gives us two reasons here. Let's look at verse 6. That's the verse in which he talks about being sure. And he focuses on God. I am sure that he, that's God, who began a good work in you, will bring it to completion on the day of Christ Jesus. So Paul looks first of all at the character of God, and he sees that God is a God who finishes what he begins. That is the character of God. God doesn't lose interest in something that he starts. God carries things through to the end. That is the sort of God who created the world, who sent Jesus, and who rescued us from our sin and made us Christians. He's a God who carries on to the end, to the day of Christ, to the second coming of Jesus, when this world closes down and a new world order begins, heaven. God is a God who carries on until that point. That is his character. So if God has started a work in us, and we know it, God has committed himself to carrying on that work right to the end. And if God has started a work in our friends, a genuine work, it is purpose of God to carry that through right to the end. All we need is to be sure that there is a genuine work of God going on in the heart of our friends, as we need to be concerned there's a genuine work of God going on in our own hearts. Are we carried along by the crowd? Or is it real? Are they carried along by the crowd, or do they really know Christ? Genuine work of God includes signs of real repentance and humility and love for God and love for other Christians and a desire to do what's right. They are the signs of a real work of God going on in the heart. Now, when Paul looked at the Philippians, he said, yes, it's real. I can see it. And it's the character of God to carry on what he started. There was a reason that Paul saw that what was going on in the hearts of the Philippians was real, a particular reason on top of all the other things that I mentioned in passing. And that's this, actually back in verse 5. He was thankful for their partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. When the Philippians became Christians, they became involved with the gospel. They became involved with helping other people become Christians. I don't think that necessarily means they all went rushing around telling everybody else. No doubt they did share their faith, and no doubt they told many others. But partnership is a much deeper word than that. Paul is saying, look, from the day you became Christians, I remember you, Philippians, you became really involved in helping me carry on, spread the gospel. You became really involved with me in the work of spreading the gospel. You were like partners to me. Part of the reason the Philippians proved this, quite honestly, was financial. When Paul talks about partnership in the gospel, he is thinking about the way the Philippians have given very generously to help the gospel go forward. Part of this letter to the Philippians is a thank you letter from Paul saying, thanks very much for keeping sending me your money. And that comes towards the end of the letter. Paul isn't ashamed of that. In fact, he sees the generosity of the Philippians as a sign of their involvement. The way we give to God often shows how much we really love God. I know there are a variety of ways we give to God. Maybe in this church offering we've just taken, maybe by giving to Tear Fund, maybe by being generous to our friends and giving them presents or spending money on them in order to help them and befriend them and draw them closer to understand God. There are many ways we use our money for God, but a sign that we're truly converted is a sign that one of the signs is that we share our money with God and we use our money for God's work, and we're concerned to do that. Paul had noticed that in the Philippians, and so he was confident. And another way they really shared was with their friendship with Paul. He talks about, in verse 7, there's a little word there, partakers. It's the same word actually as partnership in verse 5. Exactly the same word, Greek root, fellowship. They're partakers with me of grace, says Paul. And the idea he's trying to get across is this, that he and the Philippians were so close that when Paul was going around preaching the gospel, they prayed for him, they gave to him, they took an interest in him, they supported him, they encouraged him, and so they shared this experience. Although Paul was the preacher, everybody amongst the Philippian congregation shared in the experience of spreading the gospel because they were so close to Paul. And when he was in prison, and he wasn't actually with them physically, that didn't end the sharing. They felt as though they were there in prison with Paul. They prayed for him. They went on sending him money and support. They went on sending him messengers and letters and encouragement and gave him friendship. And so they shared deeply with him. And that love and concern for Paul and the gospel that he was spreading gave Paul utter confidence that there was a real work going on in the Philippians. This is one of my photographs. You'll never see it, but I'm just showing you that it's genuine. This is a crowd of about 180 teenagers at a house party at a place called Limpsfield, and some of them are here tonight. And as I look at this photograph, I can see people who are involved in the work of the gospel. There's Nick with a very funny haircut here, who's now a youth leader at St. Mary's Islington. There's Simon, who's involved in the work of a Christian rock band. There are a couple who've got married, John and Joe, not doing anything dramatic, but I know that as they settle down to married life, they're loving other people and opening their homes. There's somebody here from the clubhouse. I won't say who it is in case they're in church and embarrassed, but I know that it's somebody who just is a very good friend of many people and goes around encouraging and befriending a lot of people and helps them see what Christian love is all about. They're people that I'm really confident about, that the work that God has begun in them will carry on until the day of Jesus Christ. Thankfulness comes from confidence, and the next point is that confidence leads to caring. This is my final main point, as it were. Confidence leads to caring. Now, we live in a day of professionalism. Society has become very complicated, and we have to tackle many of the problems of society in a very professional way. And human relationships are pushed into this same sort of category. We deal with many human relationships professionally. And I don't deny that that is a good thing. Many of the problems that occur in our personalities are very complicated and need specialist help. And we at this church, if you came to us, maybe we would say, go and see such and such a person who is a professional and understands certain type of problems and why our personalities are working in a certain way. So I'm not denying that professionalism is a good thing, but it is so easy to become so cool, so detached and so professional that we lose out on simple, straightforward love. And Christianity is about love. Christianity is about spontaneity in relationships, about a real caring and concern for other people. Paul was obviously fully and deeply involved with the people that he was sharing Christianity with. That comes right across throughout this letter to the Philippians, and you can see it here. As he prays and as he remembers and as he thanks God, he ends up saying that he feels very deeply for them all. He holds them in his heart. He's emotionally involved. I remember once we studied this passage at a staff Bible study. And I'm sure you'll be interested to know that when we sit round at a staff Bible study, we don't all agree and nod our heads. We have some real ding-dongs sometimes. And on this occasion, we had a real ding-dong. Because some people were saying, We can't all feel like Paul. There were special circumstances that made him feel so emotional about the Philippians. He was in prison. He was lonely. He was unmarried. They were his family. He was an apostle. And the other people came back and said, well, that's true, but surely every Christian should experience something of these deep feelings and this deep concern and care for others. And the other side came back and said, well, yes, but isn't it dangerous to get too emotionally involved? We can't be emotionally involved with all the people we're dealing with in a great big church like All Souls. And so the debate went to and fro. And I'm not going to tell you the answer because I don't think we really got it ourselves. And anyhow, it's boring if sermons tell you everything. There's one to think about amongst yourselves. But I'm going to give two clues, which are here in the passage. In the first place, in verse 7, Paul says, it is right for me to feel thus about you all. In other words, what he's saying is, look, I haven't just got carried away by a wave of emotion. I've got a principle in my mind, something that is right, something I'm committed to. Paul says, I want to tell you that I believe it is right that I should feel deeply about you. And I believe that that is a true principle for us as Christians. It is right that we should feel and we should care for other people. How we work it out in practice is something for discussion, because it's a very complicated business, feeling and caring for lots of other people. And all of us who care for people know the struggle. We can't feel the same about everybody. We can't open up our heart to everybody. But nevertheless, there is a principle in Christianity that says it is right to love, it's right to care, it's right to feel, it's right to have people in your heart. And we're committed to that as Christians. Secondly, Paul says that these deep feelings that he's got aren't just his feelings. They come from Jesus himself. Verse 8, God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. I find that word affection a little bit weak. Maybe it's simply my understanding of affection. But I think that the Greek word, the original, has got a much deeper pull about it. The old-fashioned authorized version, which we don't use very much nowadays, translated it very straightforwardly and called it the bowels of Christ. And that is a really strange expression, and I can see why the modern translators changed it. And yet it said something. The other version which I used while I was doing the letter is called the Good News Version, and that talks about the heart of Christ. And perhaps that's getting a bit nearer it. But the old GC version is translated like this, the guts of Christ, or the gut reaction of Christ. Now that brings together the Greek idea and a modern image which we still use. We talk about having a gut feeling, and that's when you feel something. Right down inside in the pit of your stomach, running up down inside you, you feel it very, very deeply. And it's that sort of feeling that the word is trying to get across. Paul does say, I've got a deep feeling, an emotion stirring in me for you Philippians. But, he says, it's not just a human emotion. It's not triggered off by my own personal feelings. It's an emotion that comes from Jesus. A Jesus who lived on this earth and cared about people and made friends and had disciples and wept and healed and felt pain. This Jesus, who is alive, lives in each of us. And this Jesus has his emotions in each of us. And his emotions join with our human emotions and deepen our sense of caring, our sense of loving. This, of course, makes Christian discipleship painful. Jesus warned us that at times it would be, and part of the pain of following Jesus is the pain of loving, but we can't avoid it. So says Paul, I feel for you, and it's right that I should feel. And this feeling comes in the last analysis, not from my own emotions, not from my own heart, but from Jesus, who is at work in me. And when we care, we need to do something. We need to pour out our hearts to God in prayer. And that's why the passage now goes on into a heartfelt prayer for the Philippian Christians. And that we learn about next week. So I hope you'll all be rushing here to take up your seats early to learn how to pray for your fellow Christians. 2 weeks' time. Sorry, that's right, we've got a break for harvest. So 2 weeks, you've got to rush. And let's pray together now as we sit, just gathering some of these thoughts into prayer. I wonder who you've been thinking of as I've been talking. What particular group of Christians? Is it your fellowship group or a nursery class, a Christian union, your friends at the clubhouse, your family, people you were on a house party with, perhaps a dormitory you got very close to? Who are the people you're thinking about and have been thinking about a bit as I've talked? Lord God, as we think about people, we thank you for our many Christian friends who we see you at work in and whom we love. Thank you for the joy of seeing you at work in our fellow Christians, and this gives us great confidence for them, and we praise you for that. Help us to care for them more deeply, to feel for them, to open up our hearts to them, and to be filled with your love for them. We just haven't got enough love inside ourselves to care for people. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that your love would come into our hearts and fill us. And then when we learn to love people, help us to pray for them. Help us too with this practical difficulty of knowing we can't possibly feel for everybody in the same way, and it's got to be different people that each of us care for in different ways. Help us to work it out in this church family and in our own lives personally as Christians. We need your guidance and your wisdom about that. Help us to work it out. And thank you for this passage that teaches us so much about loving care for one another. In Jesus' name, amen.